This is Fit as a Fiddle Plus, and tonight we're talking to Wendy McBride, and we're going to ask her a lot of those great questions that inquiring minds want to know. Rita is not with us this evening. She's getting a little bit of rest, and so so I'm manning the fort. So hi, Wendy, how are you?
I'm good, Kathy. How are you?
Good.
Happy birthday.
Yes. Yes, it's been a busy day today, but you know what? That's kind of how I like it. I create my own busyness when things get caught up because I kind of like being busy. So,
girl.
Wendy, you and I met a while back through real estate. And so I am so excited when I learned more about you and that you had this entire yoga practice that just intrigued me so much. So tell us a little bit about your backstory. How did you actually get into the yoga practice? And we're not going to talk about real estate tonight per se, but how did you segue and include all of that together? How did that work for you?
Okay. Well, I've been in the health and fitness industry since 1988. So I've been at it for a while, and it really truly has become, or just is, a part of who I am, part of my identity and my life. It's not so much about who can have the best biceps and flattest abs and all of that. It's about being happy. There's a mental component to fitness exercise that supersedes any of the physical attributes. The physical attributes, that's the cherry on top. But what's most important is what's going on up here and how we process and how we live and what our health is like inside and out. I'm all about living your best life, having a positive attitude. And it started in 88. I was teaching aerobics, and then my aerobics, I was good. I was good at it. So I wanted to do more, and I wanted to do more with it, not just teach a few classes throughout the week. So I got my personal training certification, and I learned more and more and more. And the depths of what I learned in personal training led me to becoming a wellness coach. I wouldn't say a life coach, more of a wellness coach, because you really can't, you have to bring it full circle. And so I was doing the personal training and the wellness coaching, and there I was introduced to yoga. I'm like, what's going on with this? You know, I'm kind of a hippie anyway, hippie mentality, peace, love, and all that. And I thought, I'm going to take a yoga class. So I took a yoga class, and I'll be honest, it took maybe 5 or 6 classes before I could really kind of feel my oats and be like, whoa, this is really cool. Cause I was so focused on looking the part, you know, like, oh, warrior one, I know what that looks like. I can do that. But as I got into it, I really noticed that the peace that came over my body, from linking and connecting physiologically, the meridians inside of my body and places and parts of my body that were holding on stress that I never knew was letting go. So that didn't start until 2008. So 20 years later, 2008 was when I found yoga.
And how did you get into that holistic lifestyle? I mean, were you always kind of wanting to work in the whole, did you always focus on being holistic, or is that something that was new at that time?
I've always tried to be happy wherever I was. I grew up in the country. Okay. In the country. I didn't have neighbors, had to find ways to entertain myself. And I worked out, exercised outside. I was outside all the time. So holistically, I just innately knew that there was more to life than doing push-ups and sit-ups, you know, to have a strong body. That's one component. And I really believe that you start with one component, and then as it becomes truly integrated in your life and your thoughts, then you reach for more. So just like with my group fitness or my aerobics, I reached for more with personal training. And then when I learned more about the body and the mind, the neurological responses, then I was like, there's more. So then it was yoga and then there's meditation, and there's more. And it's become full circle with all of the physical aspects that, you know, paying attention to, you know, being free from medication if possible, and only putting in what is good for you. And putting in what is good for you is not just in the form of food and medications. It's also in the form of your thoughts and your gratitude. And you have to keep inputting good things, and your soul loves it.
So you've had several aha moments over the years, because you've learned, then you realize there's more. So how do you go about searching out the more? That's interesting to me.
That I would say that's where my faith comes in.
Okay.
My communion with God. I feel that we are here on this earth for a purpose, to love and to serve other people. And if we pay attention, it will come to us. We have to calm ourselves down in order to receive. If we're busy, 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 it's so easy to miss it. So I would say that, you know, a big part of that was my faith, and paying attention and praying, and my prayerful life, and allowing God to kind of work through me. And I will say my aha moments have been faith driven. I got deeper with my yoga practice when my mother had cancer and she passed away from it. And I was very aware of our time together and the time that we didn't have together. When I found yoga, and my mother had been passed away for quite some time. When I found yoga, I had remembered that pain and how it really would have been great to have something that we could have done together, to share together. And yoga was safe. And so I started a nonprofit organization called Living Tree Yoga. And that really drove my desire to learn more about yoga and continue to get my education. And I got the best training I ever had was yoga for cancer, Y4C yoga teacher training. And it teaches how yoga connects to the body and your immune system and digestive system and neurologically, and how we can really help to heal ourselves by making those mental connections while we have the physical connects going on. And so that there's a lot of depth that came from, you know, losing my mom and wanting to, you know, do something together when she was having a good day. She suffered for 2.5 years, going through clinical trials and all of that. They gave her 3 months to live. And we got 2.5 years of, you know, it was hard, but we wanted to celebrate the good days. And yoga would have been a wonderful way for us to share in time together and feel good and create memories. I know it sounds like it's a little off track, but as we continue, as your questions make me go deeper, that's where the depth and my passion for yoga really do lie, was because I assigned a purpose for it. And that was to help other people, because if it can help people going through cancer, it can help us going through a divorce or any kind of a loss or illness or stress. I know that the healing benefits that yoga brings, is a remedy for anyone, even if it's just momentarily.
Well, it's very clear that you have a passion, and I can really appreciate that. When you think about, you know, doing something with your mom, and then you realize how many folks out there really could use your help, I can see very clearly how you made the segue over just learning about all of this for yourself, and then finally coming full circle, if you will, and now wanting to help others with the information that you've learned. What types of people do you actually work with on a regular basis?
It's really very vast. I have people who are new to yoga. I have people who have been doing yoga for years. And again, there's another beautiful piece about the practice of yoga, is that it doesn't matter where you are. You know, some people can come in and we do a forward fold, and some people are, you know, flopped right over and they're touching the floor, and some people, their forward fold is this. And it's always very encouraged to meet your body where it is. And everyone is getting pretty much the same benefit out of it, but it's all catered. We get to cater it to our own physical self. There's all kinds of things, people that come in with different things going on in their body, whether it be vertigo, fibromyalgia, missing a limb, having a surgery on their foot and they can't flex their foot to do down dog, some of the basic exercises that we do. There's people who, are afraid, they feel like they can't do yoga because they're not flexible. And then they come in and they're like, wow, when I came in, I couldn't touch my knees. Now I'm touching the floor. And that happens so fast. And there's something beautiful about yoga that starts from the beginning to the end, where the cycle, the exercises that we do, or the postures that we do, and the breath work are unlocking energy inside of the body that allows us to have that release that the body has been craving and wanting. And then in yoga, you get to give it to yourself. I have a client who is missing a leg. I have clients who can't put their arms up to over here, but we always find a way. There's a way. We just, and you know what? I might not always find the way for you, but I can be there with you and support you and say, raise your arms up over your head. Okay, today we're here. And this is where we start. And then, you know, maybe we never go higher than here, but it's okay. We can tap into that wherever we are. And it's not just about me. It's about a communication and a support and an encouragement to say, you know, you're here and you're here for a reason. And let's see where we go with this.
So what happens when you have, let's just say some new clients that come in and you can tell that they're a little unsure and maybe they've not exercised for a really long time. How do you make them feel at ease that it's okay? Because again, your own story, you said when you first went to yoga, you were worried about making sure that you looked the part, you know, that you were doing all the right stuff. And a lot of people are like that. They're like, oh, everybody's here is going to know how to do this, but me, and I'm going to look awkward. And how do you help them get over that?
Oh, that's a good question. I talk about how it feels. I don't talk about how it looks.
Okay.
I say, you're going to notice this in your big toe as you press into the mat. You're going to feel it travel up the inside of your leg, your shoulders. We want, our intention is for the shoulders to be pulled forward, but if they're to the side, that's okay. Meet your body where it is. So my teaching style talks about how it feels and not, you know, like move into the, you know, now we're doing this and now we're doing that. I've been into classes like that and it's not comfortable because you're like, it's a connected process and it starts in the feet. And I make sure that before we start into any kind of movements that we are comfortable. And sometimes I'll be teaching to a class and I could have, you know, six people in class and I'll have one new person. They don't know that person's new. They don't know. So I'm teaching to the whole class, even though I might be tailoring it more toward another person, the rest of the class doesn't know, but I do know that the rest of the class is also benefiting from the breakdown of what we're doing and feeling, and they're able to just go a little bit deeper right where they're at. So I talk about the feelings, and I don't talk about what it looks like.
Okay.
I will come out of the practice and I'll give some assistance. If I see someone's shoulder, you know, like I say, okay, now bring your shoulders back. And they're like this. I'm like, okay, now drop the shoulders away from the ears. Let them just feel like they're sliding down the spine. And then they do that. And then they catch their aha moment. They're like, oh, I didn't know. Cause there's not any mirrors where I'm teaching. And they're like, oh, well, that feels good. So then once you get them feeling good, they're just thinking about feeling good.
Okay.
Show me more. What's next? And it's easy. It's easy.
If they have major problems like back, knee, or other physical limitations, again, I can see where maybe they would be hesitant to even take a yoga class or even think that that's an option for them.
Yeah.
And what would you say to folks that are maybe listening to this replay that's thinking, oh, that's not for me. Yoga is not for me because I've had knee replacements or hip replacements, or I have arthritis, or I've had surgeries. What would you say to those folks?
Well, first of all, I'm very empathetic to especially that population. And I offer solutions all along the way. I have chairs that we can use. I have blocks. I actually even have a walker that there's a gentleman that comes in and his balance is off. So he doesn't really use the walker, but it's there if he needs it. And so I will supply them with whatever accommodations they need. There are definitely postures and poses like child's pose. If you've got bad knees, you can't sit back on your heels and have your knees bent. So I offer ways to mimic that. And your child's pose might be a forward fold, might be a soft bent knee forward fold. So we do find ways to make what we're doing to make, or even rolling to one side. I've had a lot of experience working with special population and my heart, like I've had, very overweight people with me who, have explained to me what it's like to be, 425 pounds and using humor as a way to get out of uncomfortable situations or people who, are socially feel a little like I don't want to go because I don't like people. Honestly, that's a big one. People don't like people. Well,
and oftentimes it's not that they don't like people. They just feel inadequate or less than. And so they just don't feel like they deserve to be there.
I don't want to come in public. I don't want to do this kind of thing in public where anybody can see me. Mm-hmm. And again, there's no mirrors and for those people, you can take a space, and it's amazing. It's amazing. I think of one of my clients, Felicia. She was so did not want to come out and break out of her shell. Well, once she did though, the whole class could feel that she came out of her shell and was like, watch out, Felicia. She was a dynamo. But it was really fun to watch people grow within that space and start doing the things that they want to do and can't do and
have that's what it's all about. Yeah.
Their hands. I can hold someone's hand all the way through it. And I stay after my classes and I help them. Like, if you have any questions about any of the postures that we did, stay after class and mm-hmm. we're going to go over it. So I'm a teacher.
I can see that. Yes. Very clearly. I can see that. So you're making them feel comfortable. You're making them feel included. You're modifying movements so that everyone in the class participates. You're meeting the class where they are. And that's such a wonderful thing for folks that are listening to this replay later and think that this is not for them. It is for them.
Yoga, if I had to take all my exercise modalities and pick one, say you can only do one, it would be yoga, because it gets your just by standing in a posture like this, you're using, hundreds of muscles just to stand upright. And it's the intention that's behind the stand. It's the intention behind your posture. It's the intention behind everything that you're doing. And you can go so deep. Versus just going out for a run and coming in right. And being exhausted. And now you're worthless for the rest of the day. I'm speaking from experience, my own experience, even though I still love to run. Sometimes I do it and I'm like, oh, now I'm done.
Yep. I get it. Sometimes I'm like that on my walks. If I do a really long walk.
Yeah.
And again, I'm just trying to keep all the working parts working, just trying to keep mm-hmm. everything moving. And I get that. So yoga is a great option for that. Now, what is the best way to lose weight when it comes to yoga? Is there a connection there?
Yes, there is. There is a connection. And there, whether it be yoga or strength training or walking, and it is called consistency. There's a lot of deep muscle work that you can go into with yoga. But the consistency is the biggest component to any kind of weight loss. Because with the consistency now, The consistency mm-hmm. is a routine. The consistency is also what you do before yoga or walking or whatever, and after. The consistency mm-hmm. is now that you're doing good things for yourself. Now you're more likely eating healthier, sleeping better. And when your body gets regulated, so with yoga, it helps to regulate your body, your brain, all of your energy centers in your body, all of your major functions, your digestion, wonderful for your digestion, your immune system. So the consistency of doing yoga on a regular basis or anything else for that matter is that you're doing something before it, you're doing it, you're doing something after, you're creating a routine in the body. All it really wants to do is to be balanced, to have that homeostasis. Yoga is a great way for that. But then again, so is walking. So is weightlifting, using weights is going to help you with your muscle tone, your strength, your joints. We want to have strong joints, because if our joints get weak, then we lose our strength. So what I recommend is a combination of many things, because in life, we don't just walk. We don't just do yoga and then we can do everything else. We really need to keep the mobility and the strength moving in our bones and our body and our musculature in all different directions. So I am a huge fan of functional fitness with that aspect. Of course, I do both. I do personal training. I do functional fitness, workout classes and yoga. So I do that because I believe in it. I like to do multiple things. I like to kayak. I like to rollerblade. I like to walk, run, hike. I like to be able to, go to an amusement park and be able to walk around and not be exhausted and worn out and have to sit down. I like having energy. So, I'm a huge fan of full functional fitness, and that's moving your body in every different direction, sideways, up, down, across the field, whatever it is. I'm a fan of working in every, we got to keep it fresh too.
Yes. Yes. I love that. I love to walk. And so I'm often looking for a new route just to make it different.
Yeah.
I get that. Now, why is it important to have a trainer when you're working with your clients for their success? Why is that so important?
I would say the number one reason for that is to talk to someone who is knowledgeable, who's a professional, who can give you the guidance that is specific for what you need physically, but also someone to talk to that is different than a family member or a friend, that you can share things that you wouldn't want to share with, the people closest to you. There's confidentiality that goes along with mm-hmm. what I do. But there's also deep sharing. And when you go deep like that and you share with someone, and not all my clients do, don't think that you have to, that's what a trainer does. But it helps you find you when you talk, and it's like therapy. It really is. Most of what I'm doing is like a therapy, and I'm not prescribing the answers. I'm listening and I'm hearing you. And I'm responding to you in a positive way. And you're taking what I'm saying, feedback back in a positive way, and you're growing. So there's the psychological aspect of it, but as important, there's the accountability. So we've got professional knowledge, the psychological aspect, and true accountability. Because if left to our own devices, and I, as a trainer, I'm telling you, I would like to have a trainer, because there are times when I just don't feel like doing it.
I know. And, I get it.
I had someone say, come on, let's go. You got an appointment. It's 9:30. It's time to meet. She's showing up at my house. And because I usually go to people's houses, she'll say it's nine. I'm showing up. And now if I want to cancel, you still have, then you got to make the phone call and say, oh, I need to cancel. Well, why are you canceling? Oh, I don't feel good. Well, that's fine. You don't feel good today. What time do you want me to come tomorrow? So again, always providing a solution.
I get that.
So
yes, I get that.
Accountability
Having accountability partner makes a difference, because, you know, if up, you're like, oh, they're going to wonder where I was.
Right. Where was I? Or, you know, like I have two sets of clients where there's two at a time. And, you know, if one person says, you know, oh, I had Bunko last night, I drank too much wine. If I cancel, then that's going to be bad for my partner. So they, you know, so she does it anyway. So it helps keep you on track for sure. Yes. I like doing the two.
Yes. The duos. I can see that as well. I can see where that would be very helpful. How long does it take for you to notice when you're starting to work out, to notice some changes? Because I find that once I start working out, if I don't see some changes in a few days, I get really discouraged. And then I have a tendency to start slacking again.
Well, and also too, when you first start working out, and you don't see the results right away. And you might even become more hungry, and you might even think that you're gaining weight because you're working out. And the first thing that I'm going to say is, one workout, you're going to notice a change. You're going to notice a difference. Your endorphins are going to be, you know, pooling through to your brain, your endorphins, your serotonin, your dopamine, your adrenaline, all of these wonderful hormones are being activated inside your body. And you're going to feel alive, awake, alert, more energetic. So the answer to that question is the first day. Now, after that, it takes a while. I would say, you know, and it's dependent upon the person, you know, how much excess body fat there is or isn't. So every person is going to be a little different. Coming back to the consistency word, consistency is key with that. You can see changes. I mean, like I say, day one, there are changes happening. Day two, you might feel some soreness, and that's okay. That's your body's repair. Your body is repairing the muscle tissue. Depending on what your nutrition is, and that comes into play as well. And that is something that I do discuss with some nutritional coaching, giving some guidance. I'm not a dietitian or anything like that, but I've been around the block enough to know what works best for most people. You can start noticing probably within 2 to 3 weeks is a good solid, if you are consistent. And what I do with my clients is I meet with them, you know, like 2 or 3 times a week. And then on the off days, I give them homework. Okay. And I'll tell them, okay, what are you doing? Tell me, I'm not going to they're not going to be in trouble if they didn't do anything. But again, it adds a layer of accountability. And that layer of I'm going to be impeccable with my word, and I'm going to do what I say I'm going to do. If I told Wendy I'm going to go walk out my front door, walk for 10 minutes in one direction, turn around, walk back, I said I'm going to do it, I better do it. Or if I say I want to get 10,000 steps on my Fitbit or my exercise watch, then I'm going to do it.
So what does your workout look like, Wendy? What is it that you like to do for you?
I'm a little bit more of a loner when it comes to working out.
Okay.
I do love my yoga practice in my studio. I do love that. And I am able to go a little deeper in that when I'm on my own or when I'm with the studio. There's a lot more energy with people than just on my own. But I love to walk, run, hike, kayak, rollerblade, stand up paddleboard. I like to play. I call it playing. I like to have fun.
And you have to be very active to do that. So it just enhances the other. The more active you are, the more you get to play. And the more you get to play, the more active you are.
Yeah. And it's medicine for my soul. You know, when I go for a bike ride, you know, I'm riding my bike down 256 and I look over and I see the beautiful farmlands and the birds and deer and Ohio is so pretty. It's like a postcard. And when you acknowledge it and you see it, it just fills you up inside with gratitude. And when you're filled with gratitude, you're a happier person.
You know? And for those that are listening, Wendy and I are both in Central Ohio, and Central Ohio does have some beautiful bike trails. And we yes. can ride, we can literally ride all the way from Cincinnati on the southwest corner of the state, all the way through to Cleveland on the northeast corner of the state. And then Wendy and I are both in Central Ohio, but you can actually ride all the way across the state on a diagonal on our bike trails. And we've got some beautiful ones just all around here in Central Ohio. And so anyway, I love to get out and hike and bike on those trails. And so I'll be watching for you out there, Wendy. What's a better time of day to do yoga? Is it better to do it in the morning or in the evening?
Both.
Okay.
Both. And you know what? And that, I'm so glad you asked that question, because was a better time morning or night? You can do a 5-minute yoga practice. And yoga, what yoga means is a union of mind, body, and spirit. So just like I said, standing is a posture. Sitting is a posture. Just sit upright and make sure that your spine is nice and tall. And what that is it's about going inside your mind, and then your mind, you go inside your body. And then you feel the energy that your body is creating, you know, and it's happening whether we're thinking about it or not. It makes us more aware. So you can use it in, do yoga in the morning as a way to, I think it's a wonderful way to wake up and, tap into yourself and be start your day in a grateful way, an appreciative way, in a loving way. You can pray for other people, pray for yourself, set your intentions for your motivation for your day. And in the evening, you can do the same thing, repeat to yourself the things that you have on your heart, and send, you know, put good energy around it. Pray for other people. And it just brings us back to a connection of what's really real for us. And it's quite priceless when you get into that habit of doing that, and then you really start making a difference in yourself, and then therefore a difference in the other people in your life, and they're getting your good vibes. And it's a ripple effect. You know, there is a reason why people are doing this, and why people should do it.
Perfect. I love that. What makes you mad about this industry when you look at it as a whole? Is there anything that makes you mad?
Fitness or yoga?
Either or both?
I think I get bothered. There's one thing with the fitness industry that bothers me, and that's when people are looking for like fad diets and pills and supplements, or, you know, they're, you know, like just different diets that wreck their metabolism, because it really is about just taking ownership of what you put into yourself. I've seen people just destroy their metabolism by getting on diet pills and doing, you know, different extreme things that, you know, you see them. They're 1 minute, they're like, oh my gosh, you look so good. You've lost so much weight. You look fabulous. Why are we judged by how we look, by how much weight we have on our body? Because it's what's inside. And it should be more about, you know, seeing people, doesn't matter what their size are, if they're happy and they're radiant, you don't see their size.
Right.
So I'm mad. I get frustrated that people think that in order to be fit, you have to, you know, walk around with muscles and be a size 0 or a size 2 or a size 6 or, you know, whatever the size is. That's not what it's about. What it's about is being truly healthy. And when you are truly healthy, you're going to be happy. And when to be truly happy, you're going to want, you're healthy. And you might have people may, I think about my, I just thought of my grandmother. You know, she had some congestive heart failure later in life, but she was still happy because her mind. And, you know, we can lose our physicality. You know, we could lose a limb. One of my clients, he got smashed by a dump truck, And he's his whole right hip, pelvis, and his right leg gone. He's strong. He's healthy. He's, you know, he does things differently now, but we never know what's going to happen. So what really matters is what's going on up here. Ooh, the sun is setting different.
Right. Yes, I saw that. So what breaks your heart about your industry? Anything that breaks your heart about your industry?
When people think that they can't be a part of it for whatever reason. Is it because of money? Is it because of not knowing how to get started? When I know the benefit of what this industry, what this benefit is, how helpful it is for a person's life. It breaks my heart when people feel excluded and what comes along with that. It's very inclusive. It's a very inclusive. So, I mean, there's all these niche workouts and it really, you know, like as a personal trainer, I don't do bodybuilding. I don't do powerlifting. I do mostly, what I do is functional fitness for movement, for mobility, agility, flexibility, rehab, recovery, you know, whether it be like, you know, I had a knee replacement, I've been walking with a limp. Well, we can work that out. Let's work it out. I don't claim to be a doctor or physical therapist or anything like that, but I can help.
So what is your overarching problem? If you could sum it up, what is your overarching mission or problem that you're trying to solve?
Reaching more people. Really, okay. Reaching more people and creating a bigger community of health and wellness and, you know, health and happiness, I should say. What I would love to be able to do is just reach more people. And because I feel that in our today's society, you know, we've become so divided and we're not really divided. We're all the same. We just think differently. And that's a thought. We're just a thought away from being united and connected. And I think that health and fitness, health and happiness, health and wellness, that that's where we should be. That's what we need to be focusing on, is being proactive and taking care of ourselves and the people around us.
And so what are you doing in your practice to actually reach more people? I know you've got some things that are happening for you. And so what is it that you're currently working on and how are you actually creating this for more folks?
I have a studio that I opened in Reynoldsburg. So on East Main, 7509 East Main Street, I share a space with the dojo. I joined the Pickerington Chamber, Reynoldsburg Chamber, reaching out to the businesses and some of the communities, some of the apartment communities that, and just letting them know I'm here. If you want to come and do this, I'm sure there's a lot more that I could be doing. This is a wonderful way to convey a message. But I'm, you know, it's hard to be a single person with the business and say, hey, look at me. I'm kind of, that's not who I am. So
I know. But, well, and I always tell all of my students that your tribe will find you. So your tribe will find you.
It's growing. It is growing and it's going well.
Give me the address of your studio again. I'm going to put it in the chat. It's 7509
East Main Street.
East Main. Okay.
And that's suite 103 in Reynoldsburg.
All right. And for those of you that are listening in, that's Reynoldsburg, Ohio, and 43168.
43068.
43068. I was close. I was close. That was from the old memory bank from way back when. I used to have an office in Reynoldsburg, but that's been a long time ago. So. Well, interesting. I love that. So that's the studio where you can find Wendy. It's at 7509 East Main Street, Suite 103 in Reynoldsburg, Ohio, 43068. So put that in your GPS and to find Wendy there. And tell us about your nonprofit before we go. And the name of that again?
It's Living Tree Yoga.
Nonprofit?
Living Tree Yoga.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's a nonprofit. Specifically, it's free yoga for people who are enduring the season of cancer in their life. Knowing that it is a season for you and for the people in your life to give you a place to come and practice some yoga. And it's simple. It's restorative yoga that we do that helps to activate your lymphatic system, your digestion, your circulatory system. Even if you've had, you know, most of my clients have had, you know, have cancer, and it's good for 3 months after you've been cleared. So you can come for free and bring a support person, because that's a very, important part, is that as I said, my mother passed away from cancer. I honestly, not to be selfish or sound weird, I think it's harder. A lot of times it's harder for the people who are watching their loved ones suffer, because mm-hmm. it's harder to accept. When you have the illness and you are sick, you're being tended to, and there's a different layer or level of acceptance. It's not pretty, it's not comfortable, but there's an acceptance. But for the people who are like right there on the front lines with you, you get to go on and live your life, but it's traumatizing. It's very difficult. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult to watch someone you love drift away. And it makes me emotional thinking about it, as I know some people who, you know, just within this week have lost a loved one quickly to cancer. And it's, I feel them, I feel their pain, and I know where they are. I don't know where they are, but I know, you know, have an idea.
Yeah, you know what that feels like. Yes. Yes.
It's a helpless mm-hmm. feeling, and you just want it to stop. And so, then,
yeah. How do you get funding for your nonprofit, the Living Tree Yoga?
Donation.
Okay. Do you have a site that folks can tap in if they wanted to donate to that project?
Livingtreeyoga.com.
Okay.
And that has all the details on there about how to sign up for a class. If there are any yoga studios in your community that you're like, oh, I don't have it, there's not a studio near me that does this, how do they do it? Well, let me know. I'll reach out to them, and we will get them as a root sponsor, so that they can provide, if they're willing, they can provide the same thing. And then they get a tax write-off because they're offering free service in conjunction with Living Tree Yoga. So it's a beautiful concept.
I love everything.
My mission is for it to go far and wide.
I can see that. How can folks get in touch with you, Wendy? How can they connect with you?
They can, my cell phone, call or text to 614-439-0176. My email address is getfit@wmtotalfitness.com. And my website,
I think I spelled everything correctly.
You sure did. And my website is simply wmtotalfitness.com. www.wmtotalfitness.com. Yes.
Okay, perfect. I think I got it all in there.
Well, thank you so much for that. And I promise that when clients come to me, they will be treated very tenderly and carefully. And until we do kettlebell or TRX, then I'll kick your butt. I'm just kidding.
So how often do you meet at the studio?
Currently it's 3 times a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays. The strength class is at 6 o'clock. On Tuesdays and Thursday evenings, and then yoga is Thursdays at 6:50. So that starts at 6:50. Goal is to be done by 7:50, so you can be home by 8 o'clock. And then Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock.
Okay. That's
hopefully, and I'm open to add new classes. It just with enough participation, then I can add more classes.
And you also go to folks to their homes as well.
Yes, I do. I travel to homes. I bring equipment with me. I'll help you set up a gym in your own home, give you a couple of basic things to recommend that you have so that you can be doing them on your own when I'm not there, because I have to take my stuff with me. So that has been, people who have me come to their house tend to get the best results because I'm coming to them. It's so easy to keep stay consistent. All you got to do is wake up and there you are. So.
And once you get them set up, their stuff is right there. Yeah.
Yeah. And they learn, they get to learn what to do. And we go over things. Well, I can't do this because of my one shoulder is messed up. I get that a lot. So we do opening and stretching to tend to that space. I have a hypervolt. I can do like in-home massage with a hypervolt, which is percussion therapy. And I have a lot of different things that I bring with me, kettlebell, TRX, weights, bands. I have yoga mats. I have pretty much everything that would be needed. I don't have any, of course, not the Nautilus equipment, but everything right. that you can do in-home.
Okay.
Yeah.
So no excuses for everybody that's listening. Get to the studio, call Wendy. She'll come out to your house, donate to her nonprofit, Living Tree Yoga. All of the information is in the chat. When I upload the recording to our platform, which you can find at kathybinner.com. So I'll put that in the chat as well. And so if you go to kathybinner.com and scroll down to Fit as a Fiddle Plus, you will find all of our replays and all of this information will be there at the replay as well. So don't be a stranger, tap in and learn more about Wendy McBride. And so Wendy, I want to say thank you for being with us and
thank you.
And we'll see you soon.
All right. Thank you. Have a good night.